The Gemara goes into a whole dissertation about drinking some kind of a healthy drink in the morning that's called asparagus. The Gemara says there are two kinds of asparagus. Sometimes it's made from beer, sometimes it's made from wine. The din is that a person has to take care of his health. And whatever the doctors of your generation say is healthy, you have to listen to. So the Tanoim are quoting what the doctor said. Some of these things sound very strange. It's like we look back on medicine 50 years ago. You think that they were crazy. How did they ever think that that's going to cure, that's going to heal the sickness? So this is the 1,500 years ago. This is 2,000 years ago. So some of it sounds very strange. Okay. You have to hold it in your right hand, drink it in your left hand, give it back to the same person. Sounds very strange. But apparently that was what the doctors of that generation thought would be healthy. But the upshot of the story, the main thing is, person has to be careful about his health, and whatever the doctors of your generation think is healthy, that's what you have to do. So in the middle of the discussion about the health, so the Gemara misquotes a Mishnah in the Dor. It's the Chapela. It says Kidisnan, as it says in the Mishnah in the Dor. It says on the side Nidorim Samach Vav Amar Aleph Ayin Shom. How come it says Ayin Shom? All the other Marmakayim is here. Take a look on Nunam and Beis. It says Avodizara Dalar Amar Beis Ayin Shom. All the others just say where it is. How come it says Avodizara Dalar Amar Beis Ayin Shom? Here it says Nidorim Samach Vav Amar Aleph Ayin Shom. The answer is whenever it says Ayin Shom, it means that there's some Shinoi Girsa. Either it's a difference in name, here it's Rav Papa and there it's Ravina, here it's Rav Meir and there it's Rav Shimon, or sometimes there's a difference in the din. Here it says it's Zos and there it says it's Mutter. There's some discrepancy. When Tosfos gives you a Marim Makom and it says Visham, we have a Tosfos that says Visham. Sometimes in Tosfos they'll give you the daf and it'll say Visham. What does it mean Visham? It means there's a Tosfos and that daf that discusses the same topic. I don't see any over here, but scattered about all over Shas. So whenever it says in Tosfos Amar Mokum, then it says Visham, means that there's a Tosfos and that daf that discusses the same topic. Here it gives you the Amar Mokum for Nindorim, and it says Ayin Sham. Ayin Sham means that there's a major discrepancy in the Girsa, that it's incorrect the way it's printed in our Gemara. That's why the Vilna Gaon corrected the Girsa, Ois Gimel. And Nagoas Hagra, he corrects it. So what does it say in the Mishnah? So the Mishnah records a din of Neder Shehuta Miktsasa Huta Kulo. Neder Shehuta Miktsasa Huta Kulo is possible in two different cases. One case is a person takes a neder, he walks into his house, the door is unlocked. They don't lock their door. He walks into his house and he sees that a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of strangers are partying. They took out the ice cream and the food from his refrigerator, and everybody's eating away. So he makes a neder. He says, I ask all of the food on all of the people beneder. There are two kinds of neder. There's a neder I can accept the neder upon myself. I'm not going to eat your bananas, and then I can ask my bananas on you. Two kinds of neder. So he sees all these people eating away. So he says, I ask everything. Obviously, the people don't care about Geneva, Ben Adam Lachavera, but the neder is Ben Adam Lamakam. So that they'll be more careful about. There are some people who are more careful about Ben Adam HaMakom than they are about Ben Adam HaRaver. So Yasin's been added. Then he comes in a little closer. He finds out that it's his father. His father and his brothers and his children, everybody, he made a mistake. So that's a Neder B'Toras. That kind of a Neder B'Toras, you don't even need a HaToras in the dark. He simply made a mistake. Like a man marries a girl, he thought that the girl was Rachel. It turns out that it's Leah. So strictly speaking, that's the Kiddush HaToras. It's simply a mistaken identity. What happens if it turns out his father is one of the people, his brother is one of the people, and all the others are strangers, that his father, his brother, he would be happy any time that they should eat his food without asking his permission. But the strangers, he's not happy, he doesn't give permission. So he makes a neder, he asks all the food on everybody. So the neder with respect to the father and the brothers is not valid, that's a neder b'toras. What about the neder with respect to the other people? So that's the original din in the Mishnah in the Dorm, Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Neder shehuta miktsasa huta kulo. How part of the neder was huta because it's mutter on its own, not mutter because you did a hataras nedar. It's mutter because it was a neder b'toras. Then the Mishnah spells out, even let's say if a person took a neder, he's never going to daven in this shul. whatever, a shvur. Never going to daven initial. Then, the honoring his mother-in-law, whatever. And if he doesn't go, his wife is going to kill him. And it didn't occur to him that they're going to honor his mother-in-law. So you don't say that the neder is muta by itself, that he's allowed to go to shul. He has to go to a chacham, and it'll make hataras and darim. Now, for that one occasion that they're honoring the mother-in-law on that Shabbos, he wants hataras and darim. For the rest of the times, he's still angry at the rabbi, still angry at the gabbai, because he didn't give him a mafta, a shlishi, whatever he wanted last time. So he still wants, he's not going to, yeah, the rest of the neder is okay, just that one time that he has to go. So you don't say that it's muta by itself. He has to go to a bezin, and they'll make a hataras nedarim. And they'll say, if you would have realized that this is going to cause you aggravation, and it's going to ruin your shalom bayis, to take such an edit that you're never going to go into the shul, would you have taken an edit? So if he tells the honest truth, he says, if I would have thought about it, I would never have taken that edit. The question is, maybe that's noilat. What do you mean, if I would have thought about it? How is it supposed to occur to him that they're going to honor his mother-in-law? In a million years, he would never think about that. So that's a machlokes hatanoim in the end of the Nedarim, where the poischem in noilat. If a new consideration crept in, that at the time that he took the neder, it wasn't shaykh to think about that. But let's say he knew at the time that he took the neder, they're going to honor the mother-in-law in the shul. But just he doesn't like the gabbai, so he figured he's not going to go to the honor. And then, as it comes closer, his wife is making him so crazy. You're not going to come to my mother's special honor and so on. So it was something that was there at the time that he took the neder. He knew that there's going to be an issue, but he didn't realize how serious an issue was going to be. So that would be considered a Pesach. Yeneka hataras nedarim ayde Pesach. The Bezin asks him, if you would have realized that this is going to cause you such aggravation, you have taken the neder. So he says, no. So then they say, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. But the aggravation is only for that Shabbos morning where they're honoring the mother-in-law. He has to go. But for the rest of the time, there's no aggravation. So the question is, just because they were matted part of the neder, do you say the rest of the neder is also off? If he wants, they can take a neder again now. After the mother-in-law is being honored, take a neder. I will never attend that shul on any other occasion other than the mother-in-law's neder. Let's say he's not going to repeat the neder. The question is the original neder still binding for the rest of the time? So the Mishnah says no. The neder shuhut miktsasa huta kulo. The original din, in other words, the din is not a din in koyach hatoras bezin. Not that the bezin shoots down part of a neder, so the whole neder is shot down. The din is toys be miktsasa, toys be kulo. That's how the Ran explains there in the dorm. In the Dorm, you don't learn the Gemara, you just read the Ram. The Ram quotes the Mishnah, and the Gemara, and the Rashi, and the Tosfos, and the Rama, and quotes everything, you just read the Ram. So the Ram explains over there that the Neder of Neder Shehuta Miktsasa Huta Kula is not a din in Koyach Bezin. It's Huta Miktsasa Huta Kula even applies to the Heta Bezin, because Bezin is Oker on Neder Meikoroi. The Gemara draws a contrast between Hatora and Hafora. That if someone took a Neder and then he goes to a Bezin and they're Matirid, so we declare that the neder is cancelled from day number one. We consider it as if the neder was never binding. And even though the fellow already violated the neder, and they warned him, the witnesses warned him, don't eat the bananas, or we're going to give you malchus. And he said, I don't care, give me the malchus. So the din is that if later on the bezin will make a hataras and darim for him, he's not going to get the malchus. The avera is undone retroactively, because the bezin declares that the neder was a neder b'tos. If a woman takes a neder, and the father is made for the neder, or the husband is made for the neder, so the Gemara has a suffix, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Gemara Nazir has a suffix. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that Hafara only cancels the neder mikan al haba, but Hatora is oikar as neder mikar. Why? Manishtana, why is Hatora oikar the neder mikar? The answer is because Hatora works because the Bezin Paskins, the neder was a neder b'tayis. The whole thing was based on a mistake. It was based on a mistake, so it wasn't valid from day number one. So because the neder Shehuta Ragdei Bezdin is declared as a neder b'toes, and it's oikera neder meikoroi, so that's why it has the same status as the original case in that Mishnah Nedarim, that the man walks into the house and he sees everybody's eating his food, and he makes a neder, I asked all the food on everybody, then it turns out that one of the people was his father, his brother. So that part of the neder was mamish b'toes, he doesn't need a hataras bezdin for that. So even on the rest of the neder, the din is that it's huta miktsasa huta kula. So the Ran explains that it's really a din of toys b'miktsasoi, toys b'kuloi. There's another kind of hataras and dorm. The way the Ran explains, the Rambam has a whole different understanding, but when you study Gemara in the Dorim with Iran, so the Iran understands the Gemara that there are two methods to be mataneta, either Ayidei Pesach or Ayidei Harata. So Ayidei Pesach, the Bezdin asks him, if you would have realized at the time that you're taking the nether, what kind of aggravation this is going to cause you, would you still be prepared to take the nether? Are you going to see how uncomfortable it's going to be, whatever? And then he says, no, if I wasn't thinking straight, if I would have really realized, he knows what he's saying. He knows what he's saying. If he didn't realize what he said at the time, let's say he takes a nether, I'm never going to talk to that person. And then he puts on his glasses, he realizes that's his father. So that's mamash neder b'toras. You don't need a hataras nedarim for that. But if he understood everything, he took a neder not to go into that shul, and he knows his mother-in-law is going to be honored, and he's not going to attend the honor, but he just didn't realize how much aggravation it's going to cause. So that's not a toras by itself. That's a toras because bezdin paskens that it's a toras. That's only a special din in the dorm. It doesn't apply to other areas of halacha. A guy sells his stocks and then they go up. A guy buys real estate and it goes down. So you don't say, if I would have realized that it's not going to be a good seichel dik deal, I would never have done it. So it doesn't work over there. Special din only in Hatoras and Dor. So the Gemara, the way the Ran learns the Gemara, there's another form of Bezdin being mataneder, Ayidei Harata. What's Ayidei Harata? He didn't get into any trouble. It's not that it's causing aggravation. It's just that at the time that he took the neder, he was so excited, he was so happy about something, whatever. They honored him in the yeshiva, so he pledges to give $5 million. Then he realizes, what do I get so excited about? $5 million? The yeshiva only has 20 students. What do they need for? They need, for the next 5,000 years, they need $5 million. So there's no, at the time that he took the neder, there's no mistake, and there's no aggravation. It's not that you would have realized what, that you would have realized what. He knows they have 20 students. He knows what $5 million, he knows that the salary is not so great. He knows that they don't need so much. It's just that he got so carried away with himself. So he took the nether when he was not in a state of equilibrium. He was either excited, very happy, they gave him such an honor, so he was very excited, or he was depressed at the time, or he was angry at the time. He wasn't in a normal state of mind. So that's another form of Hataras and Dorm. That's called Harata. Harata does mean a person took a neder and now he backs out from the neder. No, that's the Ran explains, Harata dahashto, if he has Harata mikan al habo, that's not a valid form of Hataras and Dorm. The Ran explains, you have to have Harata and a meikoro. He has Harata that he ever took the neder. He feels bad that he ever took the neder. But at the time he took the neder, the mamash was not toys at all. So that's a discussion in the Ran. Not on Daf Samavov, that's a discussion in Iran earlier in the Dorim. Whenever the Bezin does a Hataras and Dorim, Ayidei Harata, do you say Huta Miktsasa, Huta Kulo? Because the whole din of Huta Miktsasa, Huta Kulo is really based on Tois. It's not a din that the Hataras and Dorim, since it shoots down part of the Neder, so the whole Neder is knocked off. It's not a din, it's either all or nothing. No, it's a din of toys the miktsasa, toys the kulo. By hafori, you don't say like that. It's a woman takes a neder, and the father is made for the neder, or the husband is made for the neder. He's, let's say, the husband and the father only has a right to be made for the neder. It's dvarim shebino lebino, nidra ina nefesh. So let's say the wife took a neder that's inui nefesh, not to eat whatever. She's just going to eat bread and water. She asks a neder, everything else other than bread and water. She can survive on bread and water, okay? But it's a neder of inu nefesh. So the husband doesn't want the neder to be binding because they're honoring him at some function, or they're marrying off a child or something, and for some reason or another. Why? Husband wants to be made for part of the neder. The rest of the neder, let her suffer with it. So the husband's only made for part of the neder. So he had the ability to be made for the whole neder. The whole neder is beinola binoi, really nefesh, but he chooses not to. He only wants to be made for part. So by hafora, there is no such din, hufa miktsasa, hufa kulo. It's only a din by hatorah, because it's not a din by hatorah because Bezdin is matan neder, it's a din because of toys. So that's the shaila over here. When Bezdin is matir a neder, ayidei charoter, that the Bezdin declares that the neder is not binding because of charoter. Is that really based on toys? Do you say You say huta miktsasa huta kulu anat. So the Ran on Daf Chavzayin Amud Aleph quotes a machlokes the Ramban and the Balei HaTosis about that. So Tosis says, of course, it applies even to Harata. He says, of course it applies to Harata, because since the din is that a Chacham is Oikar Sanedah Meikoro, because a Nedah is declared as a Nedah B'Toyz, and that rule of the Chacham is Oikar Sanedah Meikoro applies equally both to Heter Ayde Pesach and Heter Ayde Harata. So it shows that Ayde Avalatais is Kosru, that since even if the Bezdin is Matan the Nedah Ayde Harata, you also say it's Oikar L'Mafreya. So you see that it's also midin tois. It's also considered a tois. What? As if the person was not a bardas at the time. He was a bardas. He knew what he was doing. But because he was depressed or excited or happy or angry or whatever, he wasn't in a state of equilibrium. So the Bezdin declares that that's considered a neder b'tois also. Kol ha-Torah kulo, there is no such thing. And then gets married because he's so excited. And then he loses his excitement. He fell in love with the girl, and then he falls out of love with the girl. So you're going to go to a Bezdin and make a Torah Hakidushin, he fell out of love. It doesn't help. But by Nidorim, it's a special din. We can shoot down the das by declaring that it wasn't a valid das. So Tosfos says, from the fact that Oikar HaNedah Meikoro applies equally to Charata, just like it applies to Pesach, so that's a clear indication that Charata is also a form of Tois. So you say Hutu Miktsasa, Hutu Kula by that as well. And the Ramban agrees with Tosfos that Charata is a heta neder based on tois. It's also based on tois. I'm not going to disagree with that. But he says there has to be a tois in the loshen haneder. That's what he talks about. The Ramban interprets in the Gemara. If a person, let's say, has charata, why he worded the neder like that, he should have worded the neder differently. He has charata from part of the neder, but he doesn't have charata from the whole neder. So he asked Charata, why did he word the Neder like this? He should have worded it differently. So that's a question, the way the Ramban interprets the Gemara, that's a question, was there a tois in the Loshen HaNeder or not? So the Ramban says, sometimes you'll apply the rule of Huta Miktsasa, Huta Kula to Charata, and sometimes you won't apply it. It depends how he would have worded the Neder otherwise. So this Mishnah, again, so the original Mishnah in the Dorim is on Daf Samach Vavim and Aleph, and the Mishnah starts off with the din, the man walks into the house and he sees people are eating his food and he gets so upset and he makes a neder, he asks the food on all the people. Then it turns out that part of his neder was simply a neder b'tois. A tois and kala tarakuli, you don't even need a hatars and dar. So that's the original din of huta miktsasa huta kula. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, even if the whole neder b'shaita was binding, there was no mistake, but you can later declare, Bezdin has the ability to declare part of the neder as a neder b'tois, so they matter part of the neder, Ayde Pesach, let's say, Ayde HaTorah, Ayde Pesach. So then we also declare Huta Miktsasa, Huta Kula. So then the Mishnah gives another example. Koinem Yain Shani Toeim, a man takes a neder. I'm not going to drink wine from now on because I just read in the newspapers that the doctors say that wine is not healthy. Shine. So he takes a neder not to drink any wine. Then they tell him, some wine is healthy, some wine is not healthy. This kind of wine is healthy, this kind of wine is not healthy. So it comes out that part of his neder is simply a neder b'tois. You don't even need a hatar on it. He took a neder not to drink any wine because it's not healthy, and the doctors claim that certain wine is very healthy. They say you should have a drink of wine a couple of times a week, and maybe every day, maybe twice a day. They have all kinds of research they just printed now that it can substitute for exercise. It's very healthy to drink wine, certain kinds of wine, other kinds of wine not. So part of the neder, there is simply a neder b'tois. It doesn't even need any hataras bezin. So they tell him, omru lo, but the people tell him at the time that he takes the neder, the halom yushin yofu hulu b'nei meyayim. Certain types of wine are very healthy. So then the Mishnah says, the whole neder falls apart. It's part of the neder was b'tois. It's not huta mitzosu huta kula because of the heter of the bezin. This the huta mitzosu is muta meyelo. Part of the neder was simply a neder b'tois. He was misinformed. So the Mishnah gives this as an example of huta miktsasa huta kula. So the way it's printed in our Gemara, it says asa b'chadosh and muta b'miyushon. The healthy wine, he's allowed to drink, and the wine that's not healthy, the neder is binding. In other words, half of the neder is binding, Half of the neder is not binding. Half of the neder that was betois is not binding. Half of the neder that's not betois is binding. This is exactly the hepach from what the din is in the Mishnah. This is part of a whole Mishnah in the Dorim that says hu t'miksos b'kulu, just the reverse. That's why the Vilna Gaon corrects the girsa. It says mutav b'miyushon, he's allowed to drink the old wine because that was simply a toys. And then the next line in the Mishnah says, and not only is he mutav b'miyushon, he's mutav b'chadosh also, because of the rule that this is example number 3 or 4 in the Mishnah, that there is a rule of hu t'miksos hu t'kulu. So it's very strange. This is simply a misprint in the Gemara. That's why there's no tzion over here in the Ayin Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah. Because the din is not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not correct. The din is not quoted the way it says here. It's quoted the way it says in the Mishnah and the Dharm. That is correct. Then the Gemara has all the medical information, which I doubt that the doctors of our generation would go along with anything over here. Right? Then the Gemara goes down later. We already started this Gemara. About 13 lines from the bottom by the two dots. Amar Abzera, Amar Rababovi, Amar Lava Masnita Ton. Another version has it that it's a Brisa. What does it say in the Brisa? Asura Dvarm Nemra Bekoshal Brocha. When you bench Birchas Hamoz Nalakos, so there are 10 things to be careful about. So the first two are Ton Hadocha Shtifa. The Gemara is going to say later to rinse the cup out on the inside and the outside, that it should be clean. We mentioned already last week that the Tosis writes, Dima Mascho, Shtifa Mi Bachutz, that the Ri says that this is only if the cup is dirty, but if you cleaned it out last week and put it away in the cabinet, then you take it out this week and it's still clean, it's not dusty, it's not dirty. So then Tosis says that you don't have to rinse it out. And the Kaf HaChaim quotes Kabbalah Svarim, that you should still rinse it out for some Kabbalistic reason. Okay. So you need the first two Ahadocha Shtifa. Then Yirit Chai, so that was a problem. Rashi and Tosfos says, how can it be? The previous dafting Mars is just the reverse. So we went through the various suggestions. Then you need Molly, the cup should be full. So we saw the Rabbeinu Yonah, full, this cup is considered Molly, even though it's missing more than a half an inch from the top. And if it would be missing a whole inch, it would also be considered Molly. It's way more than 50%, it's called Molly. It doesn't have to be Molly overflowing. Doesn't have to be mole that when he picks it up, even if it's not offline, he's going to pick it up, he's going to be nervous, he's going to shake, and it's going to spill right away. Whatever's going to spill, so it's not going to be in the cup anyway. So let him fill it up an inch lower. You have to have a revius of wine and what's left. If you have a cup that only contains a revius, and you're going to be missing the top third, it's going to be two-thirds full, so you don't have revius. It's called mole, but it's not a revius. A different thing. So mole doesn't mean, that's what the Rabbi Yonah points out. Mole doesn't mean mamish mole up to the tippy top. Itur, what does itur mean? So the Gemara has two interpretations. Five lines from the bottom. Itur, Rabbi Yehuda me'atrehu b'talmidim. When he would bench, Rashi says, Talmidim sovev imosa kishuhu mevorach. He had all his students encircle him like an atara, like a crown. So all the students sat around him. So how was that? The kavod mean instead of sitting in a row, instead of the stomach, when they ate on tables. I don't know. Instead of sitting straight, so they sat around him in a circle. So he was in the center of everything. The one is Benjamin Mizuman was in the middle. So that's a hider for the Koshal Brocha, that you have Itur B'Talmidim. And the other version has it, Rav Chisda Ma'ataloi B'Natle. Rav Chisda understood that when the Brisa says it's a hider, one of the 10 hidurim in the Koshal Brocha is to have Itur, it means the cup. There's a din hamavar tzor sheyitom that whenever you say kiddush havdalah b'chas hamoz and alakos b'chas eris, whenever you recite a bracha alakos, somebody or another has to take a sip of the wine, maloy lugma of the wine. So is it necessary for everybody to drink the wine? So strictly speaking, we assume that not. By kiddush, there's one opinion in the rishayim that's not accepted lahalacha, that whoever doesn't drink the wine is not yotze, because the kiddush is for the purpose of being kaver the suda, the shem suda shabbos. So whoever doesn't drink the wine from the kiddush is not yotze. How did the Rishonim prove that it's not necessary for everybody to drink, to take a sip of the wine? So they proved it from the Gemara in Erevin, daf mem on the base. The Gemara says in Erevin that Shachyano, I'm Rafila Bashuk. Then on Pesach Shavu Sukkis, when you say Shachyano, strictly speaking, you can recite Shachyano while you're walking in the street. There's no need. The Shachyano is not part of the kiddush. There's no need to recite Shachyanu in the Kiddush. If you're walking in the street, you can say Shachyanu also. But if you say the Shachyanu to recite it at the conclusion of the Kiddush, the significance of the bracha will be enhanced because the bracha is not being recited alakos. A bracha alakos is a more choshev a bracha. So the Gemara says, what about on Yom Kippur? First, the Gemara is the question, what about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Do you say Shachyon? Rebbe Shachyon is only on Sholosh V'Golim because Shachyon is connected with Simcha. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, we don't say Hallel. And the Rambam says, the Rambam interprets the Gemara, the reason why you don't say Hallel, because not Yemei Simcha Yisera. It's a toned down Simcha, because of Yom Neroim, so it's not the same degree of Simcha as Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. So the Gemara has a doubt whether you say Shachyon or not. How can they have a doubt what they do last year? No one alive remembered what they did last year. They said Shachyana. No one has a machse. No one knows their Shachyana. So Gemara says, no, about it, you say Shachyana. But they wanted to know, is it optional or is it obligatory? Shachyana on a pre-chadosh, on a new fruit, is optional, the Gemara says. Shachyana on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot is obligatory. So not sure whether Shachyana, everybody knows that you say Shachyana Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but the Gemara wasn't sure whether Shachyana Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is obligatory because of the chi of simcha, like on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, so no, since it's not Yimei Simcha Yisera, it's a toned down simcha, so maybe it's only a reshus, like the pre chodosh. Because the shachyona on the pre chodosh is not because it's so excited that they have spinach. I can't stand spinach. I'm allergic to this food. I don't eat it anyway. The din is to say shachyona when you see them selling it in the store. The Gemara says, even if you don't like that fruit, but from the fact that they're selling this fruit and they haven't sold it for a whole year, the new season came, so the Shachyana was really on the Hagoas Hazman. Our practice is, instead of Shulchan Aruch HaMinig is, we only say Shachyana when we're about to eat the new fruit and the new vegetable. But strictly speaking, Medina de Gemara, the Shachyana on the Pre-Chodosh is recited when you're walking in the street and you see that the shops are selling watermelons. They haven't been selling watermelons since last summer. So when you see the watermelons in front of your eyes, you come to the realization that you've lived through another season. So the Shachyana is really on the Hagos Hazman, not so much over the watermelons. He's so excited about the watermelon. He's excited over the fact, Shachyana v'ikimon v'gyanu l'azman hazeh, that he survived to a new season. So on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you certainly say Shachyana not inferior to a pre-chadosh. Not that the excitement over celebrating Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is equal to the excitement over eating a grapefruit, or eating spinach, has nothing to do with the excitement. The fact that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur came means that he survived from last Rosh Hashanah, from last Yom Kippur. Like the Bichodesh, Medina Digmar, says Shachyana over the Hagos Hazman, not over the excitement of eating. It doesn't have to be such an exciting fruit or vegetable. Some Tamachachm is giving a shir, so he was saying, you only say Shachyana if you see a fruit, pre-chadosh. If you see a vegetable, you don't say. That's not true. Shulchan Aruch said, you say Shachyana, if you see a vegetable also. It's not because there's more excitement about eating colorful fruits than there is about eating vegetables. It's not over the excitement of the fruit or the vegetable. It's the excitement over the Hagos Hazman. So the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem and Beis, the Gemara knows that you say Shachyana, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They're just wondering whether it's a chayva or a rishus. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's a chayva. You're obligated to. So the Gemara says, well, the Shachyana on Rosh Hashanah is the same as Shachyana on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. Strictly speaking, you can say it while you're walking in the street, Doimra Afila Bashuk, and if you'll save it to recite it at the end of the Kiddush, you'll enhance the Hashivas of the Brach, and it'll become a Brach Alakos. Fine. What about Shachyana on Yom Kippur? So you don't recite any Kiddush Alayayin, so you have no choice. So you have to say Shachyana, not over a cup of wine. So that's our practice, that if the Kol Nidre, the Chazan says out loud Shachyana. And everybody says also Shachyana, along with the Chazan. So the Gemara says, why? Maybe we can figure out an Eitzah that we should say Shachyana over a cup of wine, even on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur you can't. We'll say on Erev Yom Kippur. We'll say Shachyana Erev Yom Kippur, and then we'll drink the wine. And then we'll be Mekabel Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, no, you can't say Shachyana on Erev Yom Kippur. You only say Shachyana, when you say Shachyana, it becomes Yom Kippur. You can, because the Din says you can only recite Shachyana on Yom Kippur. So if you say Shachyanu, you're already Mekabel Yom Kippur. That's what a lot of people make a mistake. A lot of women make a mistake. They bench licht on Erev Yom Kippur and they say Shachyanu, then they drive to shul. You can't drive to shul after you said, unless your husband is driving. Okay. But if the wife wants to drive, so that's the Gemara Beferish, that once you say Shachyanu on Erev Yom Kippur, it becomes Yom Kippur. You can't say Shachyanu on Erev Yom Kippur. It can only be recited on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, that solution, that Eitzah is not an Eitzah. Say Shachyanu to drink the wine. Just say Shachyana while I yai. Not going to say any Kiddush. Just say Shachyana, drink the wine. In other words, Bar Pi Agafen, Shachyana, drink the wine, and then be Mekabel Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says that doesn't work.
So So what should the woman do in that situation? She doesn't want to drop the shul. Make her look nervous, and then when she gets to shul, make her shakyana?
Yeah, she should say shakyana with everybody else. In fact, the practice that the women have to say shakyana on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot and on Rosh Hashanah at the time that they're ben shliach is also brought under question. Rabbi Kivege quotes Rabbi Yankif Emden in his Tshuvas, he writes that he thinks that it's a mistake. The husband can also say Shachyana while he's walking in the street, but the Gemara recommended you should save Shachyana till the end of the Kiddush to enhance the Hashivas of the Bracha that it should be Allah Yain. So why should the women cheat themselves? Why should they say Shachyana over the Hadlokas HaNeiros? That's not right. So some Achrayim suggest, no, the women have to have Shachyanu b'shas hadlokas haneret because they haven't benched licht for Pesach in a year, they haven't benched licht for Shavuos in a year. So the Shachyanu at the time of hadlokas haneret is a Shachyanu connection with the hadlokas haneret. Then they have to have Shachyanu by Kiddush. That's another Shachyanu. That's the Shachyanu for the Kedushas Hayom of Yontif. So that's not the generally accepted opinion. It's usually assumed, like Rabbi Kivege quoted from the Rabbi Yankov Emden's Tshuvas, that the Shachyana that the women recite at the time they bench licht is not a Shachyana over the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaNeiros that they haven't fulfilled since last Pesach or since last Shavuos. It's a Shachyana over the Yontif. So the Shachyana over the Yontif, the husband can also say Bashuk, not in connection with wine, but more correct, more proper is to say it over a cup of wine.
That's,
yeah, you only say Shachyana on a mitzvah habam is man that you haven't fulfilled in a long time. So why don't the women say Shachyana every Friday afternoon when they bench licht? Because they just bench licht last Shabbos. They just why don't we say Shachyana when we say Kiddush? Why don't we say Shachyana when we put on tefillin? We just put on tefillin 2 days ago. There's no great excitement. Shaking a lulav, haven't shaken a lulav for a whole year. Reading the Megillah, haven't read the Megillah a whole year. Has to be something long. Or we had the Tosfos. If the Kohen comes to be Makor Karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash and he hasn't been Makor Karbonos in the last 24 weeks, there are 24 Mishmaris. Every 24 weeks the Kohen gets a chance to be Makor Karbonos. So if you haven't done the mitzvah in 24 weeks, that's a mitzvah bar mizman mizman. But Hadlokas HaNeiros, the women bench licht every Friday afternoon. You're going to say, well, this is a different bracha, Lahadik Ner Shal Yontif. It's the same mitzvah of Kvod Shabbos and Kvod Yontif. To prepare in advance for Shabbos and for Yontif by Hadlokas HaNeiros. So they already did the mitzvah last Friday. So Nocha Mitzvah and Erev Yontif is the same as Erev Shabbos, same mitzvah. The Nusach HaBrocha is a little different. Some of the Rishonim didn't say HaBrocha at all. Half of the Balei HaTosfos didn't say HaBrocha at all on Hadlokas HaNeiros Shabbos. Our practice is that we do say. And some had the practice, you only say HaBrocha at Lahadik Ner Shal Shabbos, you don't say HaBrocha at all on Lahadik Ner Shal Yontif. So our practice is that we do, because on Yontif you can light candles. On Shabbos you can't light candles. On Shabbos you have to light candles on Erev Shabbos. On Yontif, if it's dark, you can light candles on Yontif. So some Rishonim had a practice. They only said a bracha l'hadig ner shel Shabbos. They didn't say a bracha l'hadig ner shel Yontif. Our practice is we say a bracha on both. So just because it's a different nusach, a bracha makes it a different mitzvah. It's the same mitzvah. Kvod Shabbos, kvod Yontif, the same mitzvah.
What is the minimum shir for shekhan? Is shalashim yom ra'at? If someone didn't do a mitzvah for 30 days,
could be 30 days.
I think
Shalom Yom
is considered
a Zman. Right.
So would that be
also
like Gabe Shekhanah as well?
Could be. I don't know. It could be. You need some Zman. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It could be that that's the Shia, the 30 days. Could be that that's the Shia.
The practice of Shekhanah before the Koshir Sheikh Malas Rus, which the Levush talks about, and then the Gra quotes from the Levush, you know, it's Neg Yerushalayim and various other places. And would that also be because of this, simply you haven't done the mitzvah in that time? Because it's not so much that the Megillah was instituted for the particular day that there's a mitzvah like Kriyas Megillas Esther, but that you haven't done the mitzvah properly in
a year.
And the Levush says, to be Zman Lizman Ka'asim. But does he really mean by that there's the mitzvah, or is there something you haven't done?
Even if there's no mitzvah, even if it's just a minik.
So nafkamina, what if I, 3 days before Sukkot, read Yohalas out of the cloth?
Mm.
So since it's not something that's instituted for Sukkot, I did the mitzvah.
Mm.
I don't know. In such a case, would Lavush say, don't say Shechita?
Could be, I don't know. Or maybe you can say that the reading 3 days before is not a minig, and the reading on Sukkot is a minig. So maybe you say Shachana for the minig. It's good, Shai.
You can say that for any minig then?
Could be. I don't know. So again, so the Gemara there in Erev and Daf Mem and Beis is discussing, is it possible to recite Shachyanu over a cup of wine on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, no. If you're going to recite Shachyanu, burp, you'll go and Shachyanu, drink the wine on Erev Yom Kippur. And the moment you say Shachyanu, just you would just mekabel Yom Kippur, so you're not allowed to drink the wine. So that's not a suggestion. It's not a solution. The Gemara then raises another question. Let's take a child who's not fasting anyone, Yom Kippur, young child. And we'll say Shachyanu, we'll say, like Kiddush on Friday night in Shul. We'll say Bar Piragofen, Shachyanu, and we'll tell the child, you drink the wine. And the Bar Piragofen goes on the child. So we will have fulfilled the din of Hamavarach Tzorach Sheyitam by the child drinking the wine. So the Gemara says, it's not a good suggestion because it's a bad form of education. The child may grow up later and he'll remember as a child, the rabbi always gave him a sip of wine on Yom Kippur. And in the community where he lives now, there may not be any rabbis. So he'll think he's already 95 years old. He'll think that he's supposed to drink the wine every Yom Kippur. He won't realize that. That was way before Bar Mitzvah. Now he's after Bar Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Dil Masir the Misra. We're afraid that he may continue to drink the wine afterwards. So the Gemara says, Hilkach, therefore, since it's impossible, so you got no choice. On Yom Kippur, you just say Shachyanu without a cup of wine. So how does the Gemara raise the possibility of reciting Shachyanu over a cup of wine and giving it to the child to drink? But if I'm a Baruch Tzor Sheyitom, so if I'm not sipping the wine, so I'm not Yotze the Baruch HaLakos. So the Rishonim say, in Arvei Psochem, you see from that Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem on the base, that even the people who are not drinking the wine are also Yotze the Din of HaMaruch Tzor Sheyitom. As long as some Jewish person is drinking the wine, even though it's a child. If you give it to a non-Jew, it's probably not, why don't you solve the problem, get a goy. The super in the shul. So we'll say, Bar Piagof and Shachyon, give it to the goy to drink. No problem of a chinuch. So Mestam, if a goy drinks, it's not good. The Gemara's whole suggestion was give it to a katan. The katan is Jewish. So once the Gemara shoots that down, so the Gemara says, you won't accomplish anything by reciting Shachyon over a cup of wine if no one's going to drink the wine. So it's like saying Shachyon Bashuk without the cup of wine. So that's the Gemara that the Rishonim say. You see from that Gemara that Hamborach Tzor Sheyitam doesn't mean that in order for me to be yotze the mitzvah brach halakos, I have to drink the wine. As long as some Jew drinks the wine, it's good enough. So other Rishonim disagree. They say, yeah, that's good for Shachyanu. That's good for Havdalah. That's good for Birchas Erisin. That's good for any other bracha halakos. But Kiddush halakos is for the purpose of Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suda. Havdalah doesn't require B'Makom Suda. Kiddush requires B'makom Suda, and why? So here for the Rishonim explain, because the Kiddush is Kaver the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. And that's why Kiddush can be recited either over wine or over bread. That's how we paskin. The Rabbeinu Tam holds not so, but that's how Rabbeinu Tam holds. He can't say Kiddush over bread. But the accepted opinion is, Rashi writes it over here, no? There's a Rashi coming up in the next period. The accepted opinion is, here it is, the Rashi, five lines from the bottom of Nun Aleph on the base. That's the way we accept La Halacha. On the Kaddish Allah Paz, Gam Hu B'Makom Yayin, B'Chas HaPaz Kodem. That's saying Hamoitzi before Kiddush, as opposed to B'Shamay Shita, that they say Kiddush before Hamoitzi, before Bar Priyagoch. So Rashi, and the way we pass La Halacha is that you can say Kiddush over bread or over wine. How come Havdalah cannot be recited over bread? So the Chinuch gives a whole funny explanation why, but the generally accepted Pshat is because Havdalah, Abichas Erisin, Ashechyanu, An Yom Kippur, all these things. This is a Brach HaLakos. So Brach HaLakos pass doesn't fit in. So Kiddush should have been a Brach HaLakos, but we allow you to make Kiddush over pass. So where's the cause? So the answer is no. Kiddush is for the purpose of being Kaveh the Suda, L'Shem Suda Shabbos. So for Kviya Suda purposes, it's either pass or Yayin. Like we had the Gemara before. We had the Gemara before, where was it, on Membeis or so, about Hesei Be'echem Avaruch L'Kulam. So the Gemara says, Lo Shanu Ela B'Pasa B'Yayin. But anything other than passing Yayin, that was on Membeis Amin Aleph. Where was it? I forgot about Hesei B'Mem Gimel Amin Aleph. Five lines from the top, Lo Shanu Ela B'Pasa B'Yayin. But anything other than passing Yayin, not. So you see from the Gemara that these two are considered a Kviya Sudim. So that's what some Rishonim say, since the Kiddush is for the purpose of being Kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos, so what is it going to help that one person is going to drink the wine? Whoever didn't drink the wine, the Kviya Suda is the drinking of the wine or the eating of the Chala. So whoever doesn't drink the wine is not yet. So there is such an opinion in the Rishonim, but it's not. The Sefer HaMichtov quotes from his father like that. Sefer HaMichtov is one of the Rishonim on Perek Arvei Psochim. So he's of the opinion that Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem that says that if you give the wine to a child to drink, that satisfies the requirement, that's good by any other bracha, that would be good by a wedding. Chas and Kala don't want to drink, so give it to a child, let the child drink. There was such a practice that the Chas and Kala didn't want to get drunk. They wanted to enjoy their wedding, so they would give the wine to a child to drink, and that's satisfactory. You see from the Gemara and Erev and Daf Mem, that's acceptable. But by Kiddush, there's an opinion that whoever doesn't drink is not yet. Then that's not at all mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, this opinion. But there was an opinion that was mentioned, we discussed it. There is an opinion that is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that's not accepted, that on Shabbos morning, whoever doesn't drink the wine is not yet. Kiddush on Friday night, you recite Kiddush ala yayin. So as long as somebody drinks the wine, everybody will be yetzi Kiddush. Shabbos morning, the whole Kiddush consists only of the Bar Pi Agafen, the reciting of the Psukim, the Shamru, Azachar, Sam, Shabbos, Lakacha, whatever you say, that's only Minhagim. But Medina di Gemara, or that's why it's called Kiddush Rabba, Loshen Sagi Nohar, that all you say is the Bar Pi Agafen. So reciting Bar Pi Agafen without drinking is nothing. So that's why there was an opinion that whoever doesn't drink on Shabbos morning is not yetzi. But again, that's not the accepted opinion. And Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion was that even those who don't drink are also yetzi.
Is there any difference between drinking from the actual cup that Kiddush is made over and drinking?
No, the same thing. Let's say you put wine on the table and everyone will pour a little wine in their cup. And each one will drink a little bit of wine in connection with the kosher bracha. Even to satisfy that opinion that whoever doesn't drink is not yotzei, it's also, that's the Gemara, the end of the perek, Anun Aleph HaMaveis, the Gemara said beferish. Any wine that we pour in connection with bracha alakos, birchas hamazon alakos, a kiddush alakos, any wine that we pour to drink specifically in conjunction with the bracha alakos is also considered bracha alakos. That's more the end of the parak by Yalto. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That story is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. We'll get there soon. So here, the Gemara had a practice like we have today, that the person says Kiddush and he drinks the wine. Strictly speaking, everybody's Yaitzeh. But the minig was that they would have everybody take a little bit of wine. Now we had the Tosis earlier, and Gimel Amud Aleph, where Tosis discussed being Moitzi the people with Havdolah, you have to sit down. So when we learned the Tosis, we mentioned that the Birchas Roish, the Sefer Ambrocha says, that the whole Tosis is only, why do you have to have yeshiva for Havdolah? You can't be Moitzi somebody with Havdolah unless they're sitting down. Why? So he says, no, because they're talking about a practice that we no longer have today, that everybody takes a sip of the wine. So when I say Bar Pi Agafen, I'm going to be Moitzi everybody with the Bracha Bar Pi Agafen. So the Gemara says to be Moitzi somebody else, you need Haseba. I'm passing on, you need Haseba. Or you Bizman is that we don't have Haseba, so you have Yeshiva Didanis, Haseba Ditu. So that's what the Gemara here is speaking about when they would recite Birchas Hamazon and Alakos. So strictly speaking, on Baruch Tzor Shehitam, somebody has to take a sip of Maloy Lugma from the cup of wine. It doesn't have to be everybody. If one person takes a sip of wine, everybody's Yaitse. But the meaning was, Bizman Gemara, that they would have a cup of wine, they would bench Birchas Hamazon and Alakos, and then they would have a whole Ma'atale. How does the Gemara say? Ma'atale Benatle. Not their little cups. So the one would say bracha lakos with the drink of malay lugma, and then he would pour a little wine, and all the other cups, everybody wanted to participate in the drinking of the kosher bracha. Strictly speaking, you yotze the bracha lakos even without it. But like we have by Kiddush, the practice, not like Tesa had the practice by Havdolah. So that was the practice that they had by Birchas Hamazon and Alakos. Ma'atale benatle, they had all the cups around. That's what they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Let's say you don't plan to do that. You're not gonna pour a little wine for everybody else to drink. And you just finished eating and there are dirty cups all over the place. There are cups all over the table. So he said, that's not right. You should only have ma'atale benatle, you should only have other cups around if the cups are clean and you plan to pour the wine into the other cups. But it's time to have all the cups around at the time that you're benching, and then you're not gonna use them for the purpose of pouring the wine in. So that's a violation of this whole din. As if you're demonstrating that you're not gonna fulfill a din. A lot of people feel uncomfortable when they make Kiddush, so they feel uncomfortable sipping from the cup of wine and then giving everybody else from their germs. So what they do is they pour some of the wine into another cup, and then they pour from the, and then they drink from the other cup. So they don't, the germs are not going to be put into the cup of wine, and then they pour the wine into everybody else. So the Shulchan Aruch says that is acceptable. Rabbi Yosef Kar writes that that's okay. I say Kiddush ala kos, and then I pour some of the wine into a little cup and I drink it. The Magen Avraham comments on that sif in Shulchan Aruch that it's against the Tosfos in the end of Psochim. The Tosfos in Arbi Psochim proves in the Gemara that that's not proper. Amavarach Tzor Sheyita means you have to take a sip. Whoever's going to take the sip, either the one who said the Kiddush or someone else, someone has to take a sip of Maloy Lugma from the cup that still has the Revius in it, that still has the Maloy, that has the Revius and it's approximately Maloy. To pour off some wine in another cup and then to sip from that cup, and that cup doesn't have a Revius, that's acceptable. It's clear in the Gemara in Arvid Pesach, and that's acceptable for Birchas Hanenin. Stump. I say a brach over a cup of wine, and then I see there are other people who'd like to, in the middle of the week, not Kiddush and not Avdolah. And I see there are other people who'd like to share the wine, and I don't want to put my germs in, so I can pour out part of the wine into another cup and drink it, and give them this cup that they can drink the rest of the wine. But as far as Kiddush and Avdolah is concerned, Birchas Hamoz and Alakos is concerned, so the Tosfos says that's not proper. And brach tzor sheyitam, you have to drink from the original cup that has the revius in it. That's going to be molei. So that's the Gemara has the two interpretations. What does it mean? Itur, the 10 asar dinim, asar dvarim nemer b'kodeshal bracha. So the Gemara has the two pshatim in itur.
So then the Eitzah knows to with Khan, the shittah again Abraham as well. So then to drink from the cup, to pour a little bit out, drink from the kodeshal bracha, and then you know from the cup that you poured out, like maybe fill up and then fill up everyone else's cup with that.
There's no need to fill it up. You take a bottle of wine and pour. You can pour the wine before you make Kiddush. You can have everybody have some wine before you make Kiddush. So that's the story in the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim. That there was a Mechabed, one of the Rabbanim, that he should say Kiddush Rabba. So he didn't know what the word Kiddush Rabba meant, the big Kiddush. So he thought that they expect him to say some bracha. He didn't know which bracha they wanted him to say. So he figured he's going to play it by ear. So first he said, Bor Pri Agofen. And then he figures, whatever they'll tell him to say, he'll be happy to say. So then he saw one of the people started to drink. They all had a cup of wine, and one of the older people started to drink the wine. So he realized that Kiddush Rabba is a euphemism. It's a Lashon Saginor. It means the short Kiddush. It doesn't mean the long Kiddush. That the whole Kiddush on Shabbos morning only consists of Bar Piyagot. So you see from that Gemara that everybody had their own cup of wine. And that's called Hamavar Tzor Sheyitim. If you drink from a different cup, it's also considered drinking from a Koshal Bracha. Anyone who drinks a little bit of wine in conjunction with the kosher bracha, you don't have to dafke pour it into this cup. The same thing if you pour directly from the... You don't have to pour dafke after you drank the kiddush. You can pour it directly from the bottle into everybody else's cup before you start making kiddush. That's the story of Pesach. They all had their own cup of wine.
What if you make kiddush on a cup which is like pretty full, then after you make kiddush, you pour it to a couple of other people's cups, but it's still more than half full? Yeah,
that's okay. So you have a revius and it's mole.
As long as it's mole, you don't
have to. Yeah. Towards the top, almost towards the top. That would be mole, that's as a revius. That would be fine.
Would that mean the people sitting around need to have the coast mole to be considered kosher bracha?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Any wine that you drink, no, the bracha ala kos has to be recited over a cup of wine that's mole. But then hamber so sheyitom. The tima doesn't have to be the tima is kosher bracha, doesn't necessarily have to have all the requirements.
So you pour the whole bottle of wine into cups, and all the cups of the whole meal become kosher bracha wine. You pour the whole bottle out, everything becomes kosher bracha. Whole wine.
When I have a bottle of wine, so before I say kiddush, I pour wine in everybody's cup.
You pour your cups for the meal and for dessert. All your wine you have it already poured after kiddush, so all that wine you're going to be drinking has the status of kosher bracha.
Okay. Any wine, the Gemara says, any wine that you drink in conjunction with the Kiddush. So the wine that they're all going to drink right after the Kiddush, that part is considered kosher bracha. The rest that they drink later in the meal is probably not. But the initial sip of wine that they have immediately following the Kiddush, that's the Gemara at the end of the parak, that's considered kosher bracha. So these are the 10 things that the price of this stuff. So the Itur, the Gemara had the two versions. What is Ituf? Ituf Atifo usually means that the person covers his head and he's in a more serious mood than otherwise. So what is ituf mean over here? Ituf's on the first white line towards the bottom of the Yam. The Gemara has ituf. Two versions. Rapapa ma'atif yosir. Rabasi paris sudral reishen. What exactly is the difference between the two? Rapapa was ma'atif bitaliso. And Rabasi put a sudr on his head. So what's the difference between a sudr and a talis? They're two different things, but in halacha it should be the same things. What is the Gemara presenting as if they're two versions? The itur, the two different things. Ma'ata b'talmid ma'ata lo benatlein. These are two different things, but the itur, I don't know exactly what the difference is. The Beis Yosef writes on this din that it cannot mean that when you bench halakos, you have to wear a yarmulke. And if you don't bench halakos, you don't have to wear a yarmulke. The Beis Yosef says you're not allowed to say brach b'gilui harosh. So obviously, what it means is something more than a yarmulke. He puts a talus over his head, or he puts a suder, or something more than a yarmulke. He puts something else over his head. So the Tosfos Yontif on the bottom of the Rosh quotes this Beis Yosef. And he disagrees. Where did he get that assumption from? That's a din. That you're not allowed to say bracha begilei rosh. That's a din. So what is the Gemara requiring itur for kosher bracha? Must be something more than a simple yarmulke. They say, where did he get such a din? He doesn't know. Maybe that's only a minig that we don't recite the bracha begilei rosh. But for kosher bracha, here it's a din that you need a yarmulke. Who says you need something more than a yarmulke? So the later Paskin point out that it's a machlokes hatanoim. It doesn't appear in the Talmud Bavli. Machlokes hatanoim that's quoted in the Masechet Sofrim. Masechet Sofrim was put together by the Gaonim based on different brises. Some of them appear in the Gemara, some of them don't appear in the Gemara. So this brisa never appears in the Gemara. So the Masechet Sofrim has such a, the Gaonim has such a tradition. Machlokes hatanoim, is there really such a din that you're not permitted to recite the bracha b'gilu yarosh? And the bracha, the din, according to those who hold that there is a din, you're not permitted to recite a bracha begilei rosh. That applies to girls also. A girl has to wear a yarmulke when she says a bracha. The pashta says that not. So it's very strange. Some of the darkei tshuva on the bottom of the Yerideya, San Hilchas Mikvos, he talks about when the women are in the mikveh and they're saying the bracha before the table, after the table, the gemara that we had on the top of the daf. So the woman is mamish undressed. So he says, yeah, but for sure she has to put some tichel on her head. She can't say bracha begili harosh. What do you mean? The women can't say, she's undressed. What does it help? Let's say a man is totally naked. So he's put on a yarmulke to say bracha. What is going to help you put on a yarmulke? What about the rest of the body? Ituf means not only should you be dressed properly, you should even have a fancy hat on. You should have a yarmulke. But if the rest of the body is uncovered, so what does it help if you have ituf? Anyway, so this is a machlekes hatanoim. Whether is there such a din that the mikra din you're not permitted to recite the bracha begilui harosh? Okay.
So is the Rambam saying a shame begilui harosh?
I don't remember the expression in the Masechet Sofrim. We have to take a look. Maybe it goes on pronouncing shame Hashem. I don't remember whether it goes on a bracha pronouncing Hashem.
So we ask to say psukim or.
The minig certainly is like that. The mitam minig, it's also talam gilui rosh. That's what the marshal complains about in his tshuvas. The marshal was a contemporary of the Ramo, so that's when this minig was becoming stronger. That people insist on wearing a yarmulke all the time. So he makes fun of the fact that there are amei haaretz wear a yarmulke, but they don't earn all day long, so they're considered tzaddikim. Then you have people who don't wear a yarmulke, but they sit and learn all day long, the Gilei Rosh, and they're considered shkotz. So he said, why are shegetz? He doesn't have the minik to wear a yarmulke. He sits and he learns all day long. Tam chacham, what's wrong? So the Mashal makes fun of it, but that was when the minik was developing. But now, Bisman is there for sure, it's a minik. Either it's a din or it's a minik. Not to learn the Gilei Rosh. Not to pronounce any bracha, not to say Shem Hashem, the Gilei Rosh. Then the Brisa continues, what are the Asor Advarim? Notla b'shteyarim v'nosna b'yimin. You should pick up the kos with both hands, and then you should switch it to the right hand. How significance of this, of holding it on the right hand? So Rabbi Yechanan has on the bottom line on the daf, I'm Rabbi Yechanan, we showed him in the earlier generation, Sholu, they had a suffix, small maushit sayel l'yimin. When you hold up the cup of wine, a person is a righty, a person is a lefty, he holds on the left hand. A person is a righty, he holds in the right hand. What if he's a little nervous, he's going to shake? So is it okay? Basically, the cup is being held with the right hand, but in order that it shouldn't shake too much, he holds the left hand over here. So the Beis Yosef says, if he's nervous, he's going to shake, and he holds his left hand with his right, holds his right hand with his left hand to prevent it from shaking. That's not included in the suffix anymore. The suffix only was, if he's going to hold the cup a little bit with the left hand. If you hold it like this, that's not called Ochsa B'min. If you hold it in the right hand, but small mamushit sayeya bimin. So we have a din in Hilchah Shabbos, which the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, not a din only in Shabbos, it's a din in Kol HaTorah Kulo. that misayeya ein bo mamish. If you have two people doing some activity, a joint activity together, shnaim shasu, so the one of them is a yochel, and the other one is ein yochel. It's a guy's carrying a piano on his back on Shabbos. He's walking in the street carrying this gigantic piano. And then I put my hand on the bottom of the piano to help out a little bit. Now, if he wouldn't be there, the whole piano would fall down. And if I wouldn't be there, the guy's still carrying the piano. Maybe I make it slightly lighter. Let's say I push the piano up, so instead of weighing 300 pounds, and I weigh 299 pounds. So I'm making the burden slightly lighter for him. So that's called misayeya. Zeh yochel, zeh ein yochel. The one who's carrying the piano is zeh yochel. He can carry it without my assistance. The other one who just put his finger there, helped it a little bit, is ein yochel. The way he put his hand is ein yochel. So the Gemara calls him misayeya. So misayeya ein bomam. So what was the suffix over here? That's where the shayim is. Small mavshut sayeh limin, whether the act of holding the cup relates to the right hand only, or it even relates to the left hand because the small is misayeh. So strictly speaking, we should have really said misayeh ein bo mamish, and still the Rishonim were misufik. Rishonim shualu, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. And the earlier generations, they weren't sure, maybe it should be machma, even though strictly speaking the din should have been, we really should declare misayeh ein bo mamish, maybe out of kavod habracha we should insist that the whole cup should be held only by their right hand. So Amar Ravashi, since the early Rishonim didn't have a resolution to their suffix, so therefore we go l'chumer. Very strange. Why do you go l'chumer? You should go l'kula. But it's a sveka deraisa l'chumer. So the Mishnah Brura has a klal that whenever there's a sveka derabana l'kula, but it's easy to resolve the whole thing. So may as well, why should you be mekel? Yeah, we were discussing the other day. The Mishnah Brura says Halal on Rosh Chodesh is not the Araisa. It's not even the Rabbanan. The Gemara says it's only a minute. So let's say the person didn't say Halal a whole day, and now it's Bein Hashmashos of Matzoi Rosh Chodesh. And Balayla you can't say Halal. You can only say Halal by Yom. Mishnah says in Megillah, Halal is one of the mitzvahs that has to be fulfilled by Yom. It can't be Yotze Balayla. So Bein Hashmashos is Safik Yom Safik Laila. Is Safik is it Rosh Chodesh? Is it Matzoi Rosh Chodesh? So strictly speaking, you really ought to say Sofik Minig Lakula, like you say Sofik Derabana Lakula. So the Mishnah Berurah says, how long is it going to take to say the whole halal? It's going to take 5 minutes. And say the halal, what's the big deal? Whenever there's a Sveka Derabana that's easy to avoid, it doesn't involve such great hardship, so then you should really go. A Sveka Derabana should also go to Chumash. So Mestama, that's what the Gemara means over here. If Rabbi Yochanan is saying that in the earlier generations they raised an issue and they weren't able to be pushed it, so therefore, what's a big deal? He's going to hold a cup of wine anyway. So let him not hold with the left hand. Let him support the right arm with the left hand instead of touching the cup. The way the Beis Yosef said, that was not included in the Sofik. Sofik only was if he's going to hold the cup. So we're machmer. So from all of the, what are the other asorah dvarim? Let's see. Nos nebimin. Not labishdayar, nos nebimin. Magbiya min akarka tefach. You should pick it up at tefach, yeah. What's a sheer tefach? So we discussed this. A machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, how high do you have to pick up something to be kinded by hakbo? So Rashi's opinion is if you pick it up less than gibol tvachim, it's considered lavud, and it's not considered as if you picked it up. And Tosfos disagrees, and they say, no, picking up a tefach, that's the shear of Hagbah and Kala Torah Kula. So that's this Gemara is like that. Magbiya min akarka tefach. If it's sitting on the karka, Rashi says, sitting on a table, should be magbiya min ala shulchan tefach. Wherever it happens to be located, you should pick it up a tefach higher. What if b'diyeved the person didn't pick it up a tefach? Let's say the person is so nervous, he's going to spill the wine, just left the cup on the table, and he recites Kiddush. B'diyeved, none of these are miyakev. If you didn't rinse out the cup, you held it in the left hand instead of the right hand. All of these are just l'chatchila. Chai. We said, Chai, one of the pshatim that the Rishonim gave was that the kli shouldn't be broken. Kli should not be a kli shover. That's what Tosfos is quoted on Nunam Abed. What if the only cup of wine that he has is a broken kli, has a chip on the top? So, Shas HaTchaki can be Yotzei Kiddush on the broken cup also. So yeah, there's more. These are all the chatchila. The revius is probably Maki B'diyevit. But
left only. He holds it from the right hand also? Left?
Yeah.
From the right hand or
he
holds it
in
his left?
No. I'm saying he holds it in his left hand, which is Yemin. Yeah, for him that's yemen. No sinena bo. Why do you have no sinena bo? So the Gemara says on the top of Amud Beis, no sinena bo. Kech dola nesach daite minen. That you shouldn't have a hesach hadas. What does it mean, no sinena bo? He should look at the wine, not that he should look at the cup. He should look at the wine. So the Raman Shulchan Aruch mentions that they used to have some kind of a funny cup that had a container, a goblet, and then it went on top. It went to the top, and it was a tiny opening on top. And you couldn't really see into it. You couldn't see the wine into it. So even though you can see the cup of wine, pick it up like this. You're staring at the cup of wine, but you're not staring at the wine. You're staring at the cup. The Ramah translates, and us in a bow, the word bow means in the yai, and it doesn't refer to the kos. Then the Gemara quotes, those are the Asorah Dvarim. The Yesh Omrim, and there's one Tana who adds on an 11th pointer. Avishak Matana Lan Shebeis. He should give it to his wife that she should drink the Koshal Bracha, and he should send it to her in a Mekovedike fashion. Why does Rashi write Be Matana? What do you mean Matana? He shouldn't charge her any money. What does he mean by Matana? So Rashi says, Derech Doron Vehashivus. In a Mekovedike fashion. What do you mean Mishager? It means the wife is not sitting there. The wife is eating in a different room. See, she's a couple. The wife is eating in the kitchen, the husband's eating in the dining room. That's what it sounds like. The wife is not there. So he should send it to his wife and it becomes the confession that she should drink the wine. So the Gemara in Amud Beis tells this story. Ula visited Rav Nachman. Here, five lines from the top. Ula visited Rav Nachman and they had a whole meal. It was time to bench. Yayv lekasa debichas of the Rav Nachman. So after they benched, Ula benched, sounds like Ula benched bichas hamazon. And instead of Ula drinking the wine, he gave it to Rav Nachman to drink. Let's see. Yayv lekas debichas of Amalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said to Ula, I usually send it to my wife Yalta that she should drink, like it says in the Brisa, the 11th idea. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says to Ula, Lishada markas debichas of Yalta. Maybe send it to my wife. That's what I usually do. Amalei, so this Ula says, no, Ula came from Eretz Yisrael, to Bavel, and he keeps on quoting things from Rabbi Yechanan that Rabbi Nachman never heard of before. So he says, no. Hochi Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan said, everything was from Rabbi Yechanan, Ein pri bitna shalishim, is baruch ha'am repeat the bitna shalish. That these Yeshomim, we don't accept this opinion. Rabbi Yechanan is the one who said that we don't follow everything, all the 11, all the 10, 11 things that it says. What does the Gemara have? Asorat Varm Denigmar Kots Amar Abyechan Anuain Lanu Ella Arbo Bilvad. We don't follow all ten, we only follow some of them. What do you mean Arbo Bilvad? Taisus says, the second Taisus on the top of Nun Aleph Amnal. What do you mean? We only have Arbo. But Rabbi Yechanan talks about holding in the right hand, the left, and small mouth should say yes. Apparently that he does hold from that. And then the other Amaroim, they did Itur and they did Ituf. So when Rabbi Yechanan says he only holds from four, it just means the last one he doesn't hold from. Meshager, to send it to his wife, that's the one he doesn't hold from. Because that's what Ula came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he visited by Rabbi Nachman. And Rabbi Nachman said, I usually send the wine to my wife, that she should take a sip following the stand. He says, well, I heard from Rabbi Yechanan, we don't follow that opinion. The Ikra is that the husband should drink the wine. So the Gemara tells the story, Shama Yalta, Yalta heard what this Rabbi from Eretz Yisrael said, her husband was always in the practice of sending her the Koshal Bracha, she should drink it. And on this occasion, the guest tells her husband that an Eretz Yisrael Rabbi Yechanan did away with that did. So she was furious. Kama b'zihara. She had a rage of fury. But also the Bechama, she went into the wine room where they had all the wine. But Tabra dal mea dani dechama. So she broke open 400 barrels of wine. She was so angry why the husband didn't send her the wine. Amalei Rav Nachman Nushadola Markas Achrina. So Rav Nachman says to Ula, we better appease my wife, we better send her a cup of wine, because she'll break more barrels of wine. Shalachlo. So he sent her another cup of wine, which he filled up specifically that she should drink it. Shalachlo, and he sent her a message with a new cup of wine. Kol hai navga debircha sehi. What does Rashi say? The third line from the top. Kol hai navga debichasi. Kol yain shebechavis. Kekoshal brachu hu. Simimenu. Drink from this cup of wine. Not only is it considered drinking kosher bracha if you drink from the actual cup that was held at the time that we recited Birchas Hamazon and Allah Yayin, even if Rab Nachman drank that whole cup of wine, but we fill up another cup of wine in connection with the Birchas Hamazon and Allah Yayin, Kol Yayin Shebechaviz, kosher bracha means if you drink it in connection with the benching, not stam. He's going to drink it next week. No. If you drink it in connection with the benching, see me men who drink this cup of wine. So that's what's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber has a din. Someone said Kiddush al Hayayin, and before they had a chance to take a sip of Leilugmav, so they spilled out accidentally the whole cup of wine. So you're not Yotze the Kiddush. I'm a Baruch Tzol Shiyit, you're not Yotze the Kiddush. So it says you have to fill up another cup of wine. Then you have to say Bar Pi HaGofen, because that was the din that Tosfos quoted about the Turmas. The person says Bar Pi HaGofen, it's intending to eat the fruit. And then the fruit fell down in the street, in the dirt, and it's rolling in the mud, in the cement or something, and you're not going to eat it. So then you want to have another fruit, the exact same type of fruit. So you take another one, so you got to say, again, Bar Pi HaGofen. The bracha said, and the first one doesn't cover the second one, because you didn't intend to eat more than one, let's say. Machlokes Mechab and Aramah, if you did intend to have more than one, is it covered? But if you didn't intend to have more than one, so for sure it's not covered with the Bar Pi HaGofen. So you got to say another Bar Pi HaGofen. So it says in Shulchan Aruch here, you said Bar Pi HaGofen thinking this is going to be the Kiddush, this is going to be the Havdalah. And then the whole cup of wine spilled out, you fill it up again, you got to say another Bar Pi HaGofen. You say Baruch Shem Kvar Mechus HaLam Hoed on the Bracha Levatola that you said before. Then you say Bar Pi HaGofen and you drink it. But you don't have to repeat the Kiddush. Why not? Where's the Kiddush al Hayayin? So the answer is, well, he said Kiddush al Hayayin. Yeah, but Hamavar Tzor Sheyitam. So the answer is, any cup of wine that you fill up in conjunction with the Bracha Alakos and you drink it, that's called Bracha Alakos. So the Vilna Gaon gives the Maramakim from our Gemara. Kol Hai Navge, what's the Lashon HaMar? Kol Hai Navge the Birchas Sehi. Whatever wine we fill up, for the sake of drinking it in conjunction with the Kiddush Al Hayayin or in conjunction with the Birchas Hamazon Al Hayayin, is also called Bracha Alakos. That's what the Gemara says the din is. So she was very upset. Shol Chalei, so Mrs. Rav Nachman, Yalta, was a sharp, outspoken woman. So she sent back a message that this guy who's floating around, this Ula is a troublemaker. He came from Eretz Yisrael, he's traveling here, traveling there, giving everybody the psalm from Rav Yechanan and changing everybody's practice. So she says, Mi Mahadure, from the guys who travel around, Mili, they have a lot to say. And apparently he was wearing torn clothing. He wasn't able to afford the decent clothing. Mis Martute, and from people who wear torn clothing, Kalme, we're going to suffer from, he's probably going to bring in bugs into our house. Going to bring lice into the house. Okay, so she didn't like him. Putting it mildly. She didn't like Ula. Because her husband always used to be Mechaber, she should drink the kosher bracha. Now Ula comes and he says, Rabbi Yechanan doesn't hold from that time. Okay. What's it then if you talk in the middle of benching? Are you yaitze? So the Gemara says, Amar Abasi, em yisich malakoshel broch. You're not allowed to talk in the middle of benching. You're not allowed to talk before, let's say, the water's going to bench mezumen, picks up the cup of wine. So someone's going to start to talk then. If someone's going to start to talk, they may miss the benching. And in the days of the Gemara, the one who said benching mezumen, the one who said the benching was the only one. He was moitzi everybody. So if they're going to be talking while he's saying the birchas hamazon, or whatever the bracha lakos is going to be kiddush alakos, avdol alakos, they're going to be talking while he's saying the kiddush. So there's no shemeh koina. Tosfos writes on the last two lines in the top Tosfos. I'm saying the kiddush of the birchas hamazon alakos, and you're talking. So b'shosh shuhum evarechim hoyim adaber. If the other one is talking, I feel a bit yevid lo yotza. So there's no shemeh koina. Shemeh koin only applies if you're paying attention and not talking simultaneously. But if you're talking while I'm saying the kiddush or the benching, so you're not yotza. What if I'll talk? What if I'll talk? So lichatchidi, not allowed to talk, not only in the middle of a brochi, not allowed to talk in between one brochi, the birchas hamazon, and the other. What if b'diyevid, the person did talk? So Tosfos says, not only b'diyevid, if the one who says the kiddush or the benching talks, bein brocha le brocha, is b'diyevid, he's yoytze. Even if he'll talk in the middle of a bracha, b'diyevid, he'll also be yoytze. That's the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch has the Mechaber, has the Shaila. By mistake, a person says Yalav Yava on a day, in the Shemoneh Esrei on a day, which is not Rosh Chodesh. So the whole tefillah Yalaviyav is right. Yalaviyav Yisichanen Ifignenim Zichanav Hasein. Everything is nice. So you said a piyut in the middle of the davening, but then you said Yom Shachayrish Hazeh, Yom Chagamatzis Hazeh. That today's not Chagamatzis, it's not Rosh Chodesh. That line is an outright hefsek. That's not a piyut. That's doy b'shkar. So the Mechaber says b'diyeved yoyitzei, because the hefsek that he had by saying Yom Shachayrish Hazeh is less than shoha k'dei ligmar askulam. In Shmoneh Esrei, the Gemara has a, Tosis has a contradiction between the two Gemaras. What's a din? Where's that Gemara earlier? That's a Tosis on Chobes on the base. Ela dekuli yama choizel arosh. Tosis shows that there's a contradiction between different Gemaras. That's a person, they're blowing shofar, and it takes 9 hours to blow shofar. They blow tkiyah in the morning, then an hour later trua, an hour later tkiyah, an hour later tkiyah, an hour later trua, an hour later tkiyah. And the guy's not talking in between. So Taisa says, obviously, the guy is talking all day long. Taisa quotes it by us also. The same Gemara. Obviously, the guy's talking in between. So you see, they're talking in between. B'di'ebed doesn't passel the mitzvah. And you see also that Shoah Kadei Ligmar Skula doesn't pass out. How long does it take the whole to blow all the tkiyas from the beginning to the end? 3 minutes, 5 minutes. How long can it take already? It doesn't take so long. And the guy paused, it took him 9 hours. He had a hafsoka of an hour in between the first key and the first trua, an hour in between the trua and the second key, and so on. So you see that Shoah Kadei Ligmar Skula does not pose a problem. Then they quote more Gemaras like that, does not pose a problem. Then you have all of a sudden another Gemara that says that everybody agrees, all the Tanoim agree, that shok de ligmar skula, you're not yoytze. How can it be? The kuli alma. Tosis is commenting, there's a Gemara chav gimel amad aleph. This Tosis, the printer put a chav base on the base, that says it really belongs on chav gimel amad aleph. The Gemara says, all the Tanaim agree that if shok de ligmar skula in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei, you're not yoytze. How do all of a sudden everybody agrees you're not yoytze? From all the other Gemaras, it would appear that b'nei yevid, you are yoytze. Mikra Megillah. There was a pause in the middle of Mikra Megillah. So long, they paused for over an hour. They could have read the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end. So the Gemara seems to say, you're still Yotze Mikra Megillah. So why all of a sudden does it say over here that you're not Yotze? So the Rishonim give two answers. Some of the Rishonim say, the Rif says, that davening is Mochomer. When it comes to Tefillah Shmoneh, this Gemara happens to be talking about Shmoneh Esrei. Davening Shmoneh Esrei, the person is in a state of Oymed Lefnei HaMelech. So if he shok the Ligim Raskula, he loses that state of Oymed Lefnei HaMelech. A Chumra, by davening, that doesn't apply to Kriya Shema, and doesn't apply to Tkiya Shofar, and does not apply to Mikra Megillah. And the Bali Atesu, that's the Rif's answer. And the Bali Atesu taught a different answer, Harifus, from the Sarmi Kutzi. He has a Harifus that was, it depends. Why was he Shok de Ligmar Skula? Here, the case in the Gemara, in Daf Chav Gimel, where the Gemara says everybody agrees that it's no good, because the guy had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. So he's in the middle of the bathroom, he's davening. He can't daven while he's in the bathroom. So if he's Shok de Ligmar Skula, because it's he's simply unable to continue doing what he's doing. So then Shok de Ligmar Skula passes the whole Kiyum HaMitzvah. But he's in the middle of Mikra Megillah and he decides he wants to say Kiddush Levana. So it goes out. The whole Kriyas HaMegillah takes and it goes out. He starts dancing and singing and Kiddush Shalom Aleichem, Lechem Shalom. Takes him an hour and a half till he finishes the whole Kiddush Levana. Then he comes back and he finishes the Mikra Megillah. There was nothing compelling him. He could have finished the whole Mikra Megillah. There was nothing forcing him to be mopsik in the middle of the Mikra Megillah. So in a certain sense, it's worse. He really shouldn't have done that. So the Sami Kutzi says, no, since it was out of his own free choice, there was nothing preventing him from finishing the whole Mikra Megillah, from finishing the whole Tkiya Shofar. He could have listened to all the Tkiyas one after the other. He didn't want to. He didn't bother to do it. He waited an hour between each one of the 9 Kailas. So in such a case, we'll pass on Shok de Ligmar Skula, Yuwa Yoytze. But if there's an oinus that is unable to fulfill a mitzvah during the period of time that he's being Shoya, so that's a bigger problem. So it says in Shulchan Aruch here, let's say the guy says, Yalav Yavai, on a day which is not Rish Chodesh and not Chol HaMoed. So the Yalav Yavai we can consider a piyut. Okay. But then the Yom HaShachodesh HaZeh, that's not a piyut. That's Mamish HaShekher, it's not Rish Chodesh, not Chol HaMoed Pesach, it's not Chol HaMoed Sukkah. So that's an outright hefsek. So the Mechaber writes, hefsek per se doesn't passel. Hefsek in the middle of a bracha, the same as Tosfos says over here, but the Tosfos is talking about benching, the Mechaber is talking about Shmoneh Esrei. So he says, even Shmoneh Esrei, hefsek doesn't passel. Because it's less than shok de ligmas kula. If he would have been mafsik in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, shok de ligmas kula, then there would have been a problem according to the Rif Hasdus. That the Rif holds in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, shok de ligmas kula poses a problem. So let's say a guy's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and he starts talking to the next guy. What's doing with the baseball games, or what's doing with the football games, or something? Mamsha hefsik, that has no shaykhs whatsoever. Also, so b'di'evin, the mechaper with paskin that you yoytze, even though he's mafsik, not only being brocha le brocha in the middle of a brocha, as long as it wasn't shok de ligmas kula, and even shok de ligmas kula is going to be a machlokes, that the Rif will hold that it's no good. In Shemoneh Esrei is more chomer than everything else, and the Bali Atesis will be makel even on that. They'll say it's only shok de ligmas kula, only ruins Shemoneh Esrei or Mikra Megillah if it was an oinus that he wasn't able to. Here, when he's talking about the baseball scores, there was no oinus. He could have finished davening. It was his choice. There was nothing preventing him from davening. So the Mechaber Paskin is like that hefsik in the middle of a brach, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, as long as it's not shok de ligmas kula, doesn't pose a problem. The Taz writes on the side of the page, how can it be? The guy's talking in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. He doesn't think shok de ligmas kula is necessary to cancel. Shok de ligmas kula means he just pauses. He's just waiting, not saying anything. But if he's mafsik by saying something that doesn't belong, Taz thinks that Mikra Adin is not yetzer. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that most of the later Achrayim side with the Mechaber, because that's what Tosfos says over here. Most of the Achrayim say that even if you talk in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, even if you talk in the middle of a brach in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, it's like Tosfos says over here, that b'di'evi yoytze. Unless the listener is going to talk, unless by benching mezumim is maragimare, only the mezamim said the benching, and the listeners didn't say, so if they're going to be talking while he's saying the birchas hamazon, so that's the last two lines in Tosfos. Abshar shehu medaber, abshar shehu mevarech. While the mezamin is saying the bench, and imhoyim medaber, if the listeners are going to be talking, then there's no shemei koina. He's not listening. Afilu b'di'evid lo yotze. But if either the one is saying the brichas hamaz and the one is listening will be talking bein bracha lebracha or beemtza bracha, not at the time that the mezamin is saying the bench. So b'di'evid Tosfos says that you will be yotze. Yeah. That's how we pass on the Shulchan Aruch, like this Tosfos. Then the Gemara concludes that what? V'amar Abbas ha'im b'brach ma'kol shel poronos. What do you mean? So the Gemara says zugois. Very strange. Somehow the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim has a whole discussion about this. That if you want to marry more than one wife, you should marry either 3 or 5 or 7. You shouldn't marry 2, 4, 6, 8. Zugas is not healthy. You want to drink more than one cup of tea, make sure that it's 3, 5, 7. No, it shouldn't be 2 or 4. Zugas is unhealthy. Where did this come from? We're not sure exactly. I think the Rishonim say it's Halacha L'Moshe Messina. Halacha L'Moshe Messina. It's very strange. Halacha L'Moshe Messina. We don't exactly understand what this is all about. So the Gemara says, if the benching is going to be recited over a second cup of wine, means they had one cup of wine in the meal, then the benching is going to be recited over a second cup, that's not proper. Because the Pasuk says in Treyos, Hikon Likros Alakecha Yisrael, you should make achonis in advance for davening, for Birchas Hamazon, everything should be with achonis in advance, everything should be in a proper fashion. So to recite Birchas Hamazon and a cup that's a zugois that could cause a sakana, v'hai lo mesaken. This is not called hikon. Hikon means make hachonis in advance, that everything should be done properly. And a kais of zugois is improper. That's dangerous. The Gemara says, the shadim may harm him. That's the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim, where the Gemara says, mandaloi kopid loy kabdinaloi. That if a person is not afraid of the shadim, then they're not going to start up with him. They'll only start up with the person if he's nervous. That's what Gemara says by the Zugas. That's where Moshe Feinstein quotes that, about marrying a girl that has the same name as your mother. So he says, he had two sons-in-law with the name Moshe. And Moshe Feinstein had two sons-in-law who had the same name. Each one had a different rabbi. Tendler, Moshe David. Rabbi Shizgal also had Eliyahu, had another name. But, Rabbi Shizgal died very young. Many years ago. But that's what Rav Moshe wrote in the Sefer about with the same names. He says, like the Gemara says there in Arvei Pesachim, Mandelai Kopid Loi Kabdina. that if you're not afraid, so you don't have to be afraid. Very straight. So the Gemara says here, Eim Avarach Mal Kol Shapana, does mean you don't say Bar Pi Agofen? No, you have to say Bar Pi Agofen. It means you don't bench Bichas Hamazon ala Kos, if the Kos, Eim Avarach and Bichas Hamazon ala Kos Shal Poranus. Because it's a din, Kos Bichas Hamazon, is he can likras ala Kechis and need Hachanas. So Bahai Lom Misakon, this is not called the Hachan. Bahai Lom Misakon. The parak ends with a modern shaila. A guy's walking in the street and he's eating a sandwich. So when he finishes eating, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Ha'ichal Bashuk is daim elakelav. That's a lack of their cheretz. And one opinion in the Gemara is, that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, one opinion is that he's pasal eidus. So it's bezuyim. There's a din that a rasha is pasal eidus, but there's a din that a person is nishken mensh. A person is not a human being is also pasal eidus. Abzum, let that guy walks around naked. What avera did he do? He walks around in underwear, that's all. Walks around naked all day long, just he wears underpants. So what avera did he do? So the Gemara says, Bezuyim, absudim leidus. And nishken mensh, he's not a normal person, so he can't rely on anything that he says. So the Gemara has one opinion. Ochel bashuk is such an impropriety, it depends, it's a societal thing. If according to the standards of that society, that's considered very improper, so he belongs to the category of bezuyim, so he's pasul leidus. So the Gemara here is talking about such a case. A guy is eating, he's walking, he's eating a sandwich, then he finishes eating. So can he bench as he's walking? So the Gemara says, no, he should stand still and bench. He should stand still when he benches and shouldn't continue to walk. What if he's eating a sandwich when he's in a standing position? Can he bench in a standing position? You just said you can bench if you're standing. You're not allowed to bench while you're walking. The Gemara says, no, that's not right. If he's standing still anyway, when he's eating, the Gemara says in Gittin, beginning of Perak Mishoch, said that it's unhealthy to eat or to drink in a standing position. The Gemara says healthy is that you should eat and drink the food in a seated position. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Even those people have the practice to recite Havdalah, Kiddush and Havdalah in a standing position, but they should sit down before they drink the wine, because the Gemara says there in Gittin, Perak Mishoch, say, that it's unhealthy to eat or to drink in a standing position. So here the Gemara says if he's eating while he's walking, which is clearly unhealthy, or he's eating while he's standing, which the Gemara claims in Gittin is unhealthy. So we're not going into the healthy aspect, the health aspect. So what does the Gemara say? If he's eating while he's walking, and he wants to bench while he's walking, wants to go vayta, so that's not right. Why? That's like Oisik b'malachtoi. It's not proper for a person. Let's say Isaac's going to bench Bichas Hamazon, he'll be washing the dishes, he'll put the dishes in the sink, and he'll clean off the tablecloth, and he'll fold up the tablecloth, put everything away. So you're not allowed, when you daven, when you bench, you have to pay attention to the davening. You're not permitted to daven b'yosik b'malachto. A lot of people continue davening while they take off the tefillin, and they're wrapping up the tefillin, folding up the talis. That's not right. That's not right. That's yosik b'malachto. So let him not daven. So leave out. Leave out the end of the daven. It's better to leave it out rather than to daven and to do oisik. Even though it's a malach shamayim to fold up the talis and so on, still he's not paying attention to the daven. It's better not to daven. So we understand the first part of the brisa. He's eating while he's walking. He shouldn't bench while he's walking. The walking will be considered oisik b'malach. I say that's not right. But if he eats in a standing position, so why does it say mvarach miyusha? Why should he sit down? Why did he tell me he has to sit down? And then the Gemara continues, what if he was eating in a reclining position? Can he bench in a reclining position? No, that's not Kavod Abrach. He should bench Be'em or Be'ira. Yoshev Imavarach, he should sit up. Reclining, that's healthier to eat in a position of Haseba, but to bench in a position of Haseba, that's not right. Halayla Azek Kolona Misubim, the Gemara says you have to eat the matzah. In the state of Haseba, the morer is zecha levi morer is chayayim. The morer is zecha l'avdus, so you don't need the morer in a position of Haseba. So what about reciting the Hallel? Do you recite Hallel in a position of Haseba? Some Shanim say, yeah, you should recite Hallel. And say, most of the Shanim say, no. And Shulchan Aruch says, no, it's not proper. Like this Gemara, even if he's oichel k'shuhu meisav yochel, if he eats b'Haseba, Yoshev v'mavarach, he should sit up straight and recite the Birchas Hamazon be'em or be'ira. That's not derech eretz. To recite the Birchas Hamazon in a position of Haseba. So why if he ate in a standing position? Why does the Brisa say that he should sit for the Birchas Hamazon? And then the Gemara concludes, Ve'ilchasa b'kulo yoshev mevarach. Not only in the second two cases, even in the first case, where he's ochel mahalach, he's eating a sandwich as he's walking. We don't paskan like the Braisa that allows you to bench b'chus hamazim yuma. We require that it should be b'yeshiva. Why? So he's going to concentrate better. That's what Tosfos says. Because b'chus hamazim is deraisa, echmir bo alius yoshev mevarach. He's going to concentrate better. That's why in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlekes whether me'ein sholosh, whether ala michyo is deraisa derabbanon, ala gefen is deraisa derabbanon. So one nachkemina will be sofek birach, sofek loy birach, whether it's chayzah mevarach, and the other nachkemina, if it's a din deraisa, sofek deraisa lechum, and the other nachkemina is that you have to recite ala eitz while priho eitz in a sitting position, or can you recite it in a standing position? If it's only the Rabbanon, then Tosfos seems to say they were never machmer to insist that it has to be recited in a sitting position. But if it would be the Raisa, then you have to recite the Dafka in a sitting position. Then he should have more, he should pay better attention. Yeah, what does it mean? What does it mean that ala michya, ala gefen is the Raisa? How can it be the Raisa? If you have bread, it's only the Raisa if you have kadei sviya. So how can it be the alo eitz val priho eitz? A guy has three grapes, that becomes the Raisa. And if he has three slices of bread, but he's still hungry, he hasn't eaten in 2 days. So you give him three slices of bread, maybe way more than a kazayis, that's only the Rabbanon. How can it be that if he has three grapes, is there ice? So Chacham Avad Yosef explains, no, of course the Medubra is that he ate so many grapes that he has Kadei Sevil. He drank so much wine that he had Kadei Sevil. Let's say he's eating so much cake that he has Kadei Sevil. He eats so much cake, you have Kadei Sevil, so you have to bench Bechus HaMazen. So that means he's eating so much oatmeal cereal. He ate a ton of oatmeal sundae. His belly is full. So he ate kidei sviya, but not from bread. So you only say, ala michyo. So there are two opinions in the Rashba, two opinions in the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, whether ala michyo is deraisa in such a case. If he eats cake or cookies, kidei sviya, then it becomes anatilus yadayim hamotzi and birchas hamazon. So that's not a shaila, whether ala michyo is deraisa. If he eats kidei sviya, it's kviya suda on the cake. He's talking about wheatina, farina, something like that. So those Rishonim hold that it's deraisa. All the shivas hamidim are deraisa. It means if you have kidei sviya. So then if you had kidei sviya, and it's a sofik, you don't remember if you said the bracha achran, then you say sofik deraisa luchum. So those who hold that it's deraisa would insist that you have to recite the bracha achran abi yeshiva. So they're assuming, the Tosfos is assuming, that's the way it's assumed in Shulchan Aruch, that the insistence on reciting the bracha achran abi yeshiva is out of chashivas of the bracha, that you should concentrate better. The Maharil left says differently. Maharil says the whole reason why Hilchas HaKulu Yoshev Mevarach, it's all based on that Gemara in Gittin, the beginning of Perek Mishoch Sukur Daikas, that the Gemara says that it's not healthy to eat or to drink in a standing position or in a walking position. So healthier is that you should eat and drink everything in a sitting position. So the guy finishes eating and he jumps up right away the second after. So how long should he continue to sit after he finishes eating? The health purposes. So the Maril says the amount of time that it takes to say the bracha achrayim. So that's why the Gemara says v'hilchasa b'kulo yoshev imavarech for health purposes. That's not the way it says in Tosfos. Tosfos quotes Rav Moshe Albert, and the first part of the Bala Tosfos. The Tosfos says because of chashivas habracha. No, mesubin, that we don't allow him to bench in a position of haseba, because that's not kovod habracha. You should sit up be'em or b'yira, as opposed to haseba. That's
also only on the day I said, but the bracha that you make by the seba, by the priya bracha, you don't drink mesubin.
Yeah.
You have to sit up first, make the bracha, and then go back to mesubin.
Oh. No, stomach the bracha. Let's say a person is eating b'haseba, then all of Birchas Hanenin is probably going to recite Be'aseba. If the eating is Be'aseba, it's not Birchas Hanenin is Be'aseba. But the benching is when the whole meal is all over, no more Haseba, so then you should have Yeshiva. Yeah, but that, Maril, that's very strange. The Gemara means over here, Hilchas Kulu, Yoshev and Mevarach for health reasons. Nah. Here the story, the Braisa began, Hoichal Mahalach, the guy's walking the whole time. He did something that's unhealthy, so now you tell him he should sit and bench. For health reasons, it doesn't really read well.
If the idea of sitting for the bracha is for a better kabbalah, then shouldn't that be something that should at least ideally apply to other brachas too? Would there any brachas be, even aside from Shmoneh Esrei, there many brachas be able to make that to stand for?
I mean, as I mean, we should always sit. Yes. Should always sit for everything because you're mechaven better. Uh-huh. Whenever you have a choice of reciting a bracha, either standing or sitting, we should always recommend you should sit.
We don't sit.
Yeah. So Taisa says they only insisted on that because it's their rice. If the birchas hashachad hashiyotzer would have been their rice, so probably Taisa would assume. Taisa would say you should sit then too.
But even if it's derabanan, wouldn't that still be like?
I mean, it should be recommended. Uh-huh. I don't know. It's a good question. According to Tosafot, we should always recommend lachatchila to choose. You should sit for Baruch Shem, sit for Yishtabach, and sit for all the Berachas HaShachar to be mechaven more. It's a good question. I don't know. Okay. I apologize. I had to give a shir at a different time today. Okay. Tomorrow, I think I'm going to go back to normal. What's normal again? I forgot. Quarter to one.
Do we have to sit for Birchas Torah?